Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Now, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome back to the program. My name's Will. Howdy do to you. Anna Hummel will be joining me in just a second. I said in the live stream that I would have a little bit up front, but we had no time for that this week. In fact, I'm up against the clock right now, so I'm just going to bring Anna Hummel in. Thank you. Hey, Anna Hummel, how are you?
Hi, Will Coons. What's going on?
Oh my God, I've had quite the day today. This is one of those days where just I was dreading. I had to make an appointment with the mechanic to my car to take it in and get an oil change. And last time I was there, he let me know that I had some sort of leak. And it's tough to know with mechanics if they're telling the truth, if they're just not doing anything and just charging you for work that they don't do. But I found a guy that I think I trust. So that was a few $100. And then he goes, hey, you got to get some tires too. So I'm like, oh, good. Okay. Apparently one of my tires has been on my car for 8 years, which I don't think is good. Can't do that.
Probably bald.
Very bald. Yeah, it's got to go. So I made an appointment for that. It's just like when you get to the point where you're like, yeah, I'm just going to have to put stuff on my credit card. This is what a credit card is for. I have to continue to exist. And then you build back up to get knocked down again.
Build back better.
That's right. So after I did that, I came home and I have a nice little setup in here with my mixing board. And I got a new camera. I don't know if you could tell, but it should be a little sharper, a little clearer. From my mommy and daddy bought me a camera, so thank you to them. That was very nice. And the TV in here Doesn't work. Sometimes I'll look up, and if you see me when I'm looking up, I'm not just not avoiding eye contact, but that's where my screen is. So it's a little mismatched, and it's the way I have the TV hung and whatever. It's a bad design, but much like anything else I do, it's not perfect. And the TV broke. So I had a monitor that was sitting in my closet that I was just sitting there. I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm trying to clean up, get some stuff out of here, do some spring cleaning, summer cleaning. And I asked some friends if they needed a monitor, and one took me up on that offer, I don't know, a week and a half ago. So now I got no monitor. I got the live stream today. It's something I have to do. So I had to go buy a television today from a place called Walmart. I don't know. I don't know if you're familiar with Walmart. They did have one on Amazon for $99. It seemed like it was pretty good. TVs are so cheap, but if you need to go to the doctor, forget it. That's more expensive. TV, super cheap. Doctors, more expensive. So I had to go, and I bought this $130 TV. So I'm back in biz, as they say, the biz. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to Walmart. Is particularly bad with this. Johnny and I were just talking about Walmart versus Publix grocery shopping. I don't know if you ever shopped at Walmart.
Yeah, I've shopped at both.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about Walmart in particular, but have you ever had this thing? And it, Sam's Club does this too. And Sam's Club is a like a affiliated. It's Sam Walton's warehouse store. So Walmart and Sam's Club are pretty much under the same umbrella. They have this thing where they put people. I've seen Target do it too, but not as much. Independent salespeople in the store that I guess they pay to be there at the facility, and they're trying to sell you stuff. Hey, what cell phone do you have? What, maybe I could save you some money. Come over here and talk to me. This whole thing. Are you experienced with this?
Yes.
So I had that right next to the sale TVs, whatever the TV that I was looking for. Spectrum was in there, and there was a young man, a handsome guy, a bunch of tattoos, and asking me what kind of cable I have. And I'm half talking to him, half looking at this TV. And I go, oh, I should have just said Spectrum. I have Spectrum. But I think they always have some sort of extra deal that they can get you or something if you sign up with them. And it ends up costing you more money in the long run, but first 3 months or half off or something. So there's got to be some incentive for these people to work these things. But I'm trying to shop. I don't want to talk about cable, and I also don't want to be rude because I know that they have a job to do. Times are tough.
I told you what to do. We've literally discussed this before.
Which is
do
what?
You remember what I told you when we were on Stay Woke and a similar thing happened to one of us? Do you know what you do?
Please refresh my memory.
Special. In some regard, whether it be deaf. Pick your disorder. It doesn't matter. But just be weird. Have Tourette's all of a sudden. We were on our show this morning. We were watching a girl with Tourette's. We were probably watching it for like 30 minutes on radio, which isn't great because just us watching videos laughing on radio. But it was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean.
Or you just be stern with them. Just be like, no, thank you. They keep talking. No, thank you. No, they'll move on. They're used to that. They're used to being rejected all the time. Don't feel bad about it. They know they're annoying.
Well, I eventually did, but they are really good. They know human psychology pretty well, and I know what they're doing. So eventually I just go, so they start to, hey, you like sports? And I got my Bucks hat on. You're a big Bucks fan? Yep, I'm a Bucks fan. Tom Brady, one girl says, the kid's partner. I go, yep, he's on the team. That's true. He's the quarterback. She goes, nice, nice. Well, you know, we got a bunch of good sports packages with Spectrum. I don't know if you know. I go. Listen, I know. WoW is just cheaper. WoW is what I have at the house. Love WoW. Not sponsored. And I just go, look, just write down your phone number, whatever. I'll take your phone number, but I'm not interested in anything today. Huh?
Was she hot?
She was a 7.
That's good.
Not ugly. 6.8 maybe. Not ugly, but not hot enough where I would continue to talk to her. Yeah, so I just wanted, and then I had to go back. I had to loop back around and avoid eye contact because the TV that I wanted was right where they were set up. I almost wondered if it was a honeypot kind of trap that Walmart sets, that they have some sort of agreement with Spectrum where they go, we'll put this TV on sale so people have to come and gather around you, and then you can chit-chat right. with them about the bucks and scam them to buy internet and streaming services from Walmart and Spectrum.
Yeah, that's, you shouldn't feel bad about that. They're infringing on your time and your peace of mind. So don't feel bad, you know, shooting some fire back. I don't. I'm like, you're bugging me. Like, I just want to do my thing. You see that, you know you're bothering me. You know that, and you're continuing to talk to me anyways. I don't feel bad being rude in those circumstances. And I'm a very polite person.
It's not even that I was feeling bad, but I also was wondering.
You said you didn't want to be rude.
I don't want to be rude.
You don't have to be rude, but you can be stern, you know?
And I was. I just said, listen, not interested. Thank you. I understand y'all have a job to do, but I don't want cable. I don't want it. And then they go, okay. And then finally they gave up. And it was awkward when I had to loop back around. But my question to you is, who does this work on? Who are the people that go, I came in here for a $120 television, and I'm going to leave with a $200 a month cable bill when I'm
getting
out of here? Can
I tell you, I literally had this exact same conversation when it comes to the Jehovah Witnesses on the, I mean, I spend a lot of time in Tampa, so they're on Riverwalk a lot. I see him on St. Pete, like at the base of the pier.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, sometimes they'll kind of like approach people that are looking at them, but a lot of times they're just standing there and people must like come up to them or whatever the case is. I want to know, like, they're obviously there because it works on somebody. And I literally was telling Chris, my boyfriend, probably 2 days ago, I'm like, who is this working on? Who is getting convinced to go, who's on a walking the dog, and then all of a sudden they're deciding they're going to go to church every Sunday after having a 7-minute conversation with the stranger? Who are these people? But it must work, right? It must work on some people, otherwise they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Who are these people? I would like to know. Probably older people, I'm assuming. People... Maybe at least in the religious context, I would say people who are lonely, who don't really have anything going on, that want, you know, connection. In your case, I would say probably older people that are just getting bamboozled because they think they're saving money.
Yeah, you know, it must work for the people like Spectrum or AT&T or whoever is going. Like, I had door to door. Actually, you know what? I got by T-Mobile with some door to door salesman. One time. And it was, I said, listen, if you can save me money on my phone bill, I'll switch to T-Mobile right now. And I had Sprint. So no disrespect to Sprint, but Sprint's Bobo. And I know that's, I think T-Mobile bought Sprint shortly after this. But I said, it can't get much worse than this. And if it's a little cheaper, I'll switch. And it ended up being like $5 a month cheaper because they ask you how much you're paying. And instead of lying, because I'm not immoral, I told the truth. So they came back with like $4 cheaper a month. And I go, well, it is cheaper. So, okay, I'll switch to T-Mobile. So I guess I'm the jack-off that falls for this stuff sometimes. And not today, though I was in no mood after right. all the money that I was spending today.
There's a demographic, and then it's also... It's like mood dependent for a lot of people. Are you in the mood to chat? Are you in a hurry? Are you not in a hurry? Are you, you know, did you just get paid? Are you, you know, it's the end of the month and you're trying to scrape together money to pay rent? Like, all of these variables need to be taken into consideration to see, you know, who this is working on. But I come across like a total biatch when it comes to anybody that's trying to sell me anything. Anybody on the street, nothing. I'll pretend I'm deaf. I'll pretend I'm dumb. I'll pretend I have, like, I'm talking to someone in my ear. Like, I'll pick up the phone. No one's on, you know, whatever. I hate these people.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. I know it's just one of those, like, it's just a job that people have, and it's just for money.
It's not. Because in a lot of most jobs, people are coming to you for a product, for a service, for something. People are going to you if you work at Publix as a cashier, people are coming to the store because they need something. It's imperative to them that they go to your place of work. It's not like you're just looking at something and then somebody comes up and starts bothering you, haggling you, harassing you. I think that is completely different. But it is a job, you're right. But the approach is so different that I have no respect for these people. These people are scum.
You got to have a lot of grit and a lot of not caring what people think of you and how they talk to you in order to do a job like that. Because I don't think I was rude, but I was stern. When I was talking, I was like, listen, I'm in a hurry. I'm just here to get a TV. You know, I don't want to do this. And I understand your position and where you're at right now. And you probably don't even have cable. You probably can't afford cable, but you're trying to sell it to other people so you could stay in your one bedroom apartment. Like, I understand where we're at in society right now. But I don't want stupid cable. And it's really a shame that I love capitalism and everything, don't get me wrong, but this is where I go, okay, this is in the cons section, this part right here, where I can't be left alone. I'm already spending money. You're trying to, you know, double it up on me for something I probably don't need. I definitely don't need. And yeah. It's just one of those things where it's the free market and they're open to get you. But Walmart's doubling up. You're not only, you know, patronizing their store, but they're charging another company to come in and rent their space so they could try to sell you more stuff and suck you dry of every cent that you possibly have. And it's just, it's offensive. But also, I don't know a better way necessarily either.
Yeah, I hate those people. I hate those people that come door to door. Like, again, if you want to go to Spectrum or you want to call Spectrum or whatever, whoever's selling the service, that's fine. But when you are not interested, you're not even there to talk to anybody about your cable or your internet or whatever, and they're trying to affront and talk to you when you're busy already spending money. And you're at Walmart because you're effing poor already. Why are you trying to have people drive who don't even have money? Why don't you go to, I don't know, a more bougie store? Why don't you go to, not Macy's, Nordstrom's. I don't know. Go to a place where people have money. Because why are you going to Walmart?
It's predatory. Because you know what they ask me? They go, well, we have vouchers if you're on food stamps, which I was almost kind of offended. I was like, do I look like I'm on food stamps? And then I looked at me and I said, yeah, I probably do. I probably do look like that. I'm wearing a tank top. And I'm at Walmart on a Wednesday at noon. So, yeah, I probably do look like I'm on food stamps. It was offensive.
Sadly enough, poor people are probably more likely to get scammed. Not saying all poor people have a lower IQ, but I would say a lot of them do. So it's like you're trying to scam people that have a low IQ already, that are already poor and are, you know, disenfranchised in some way, either because they're going through a hard time, they're dumb, they're whatever the case may be, their job sucks, they're young, they're too old, they're in disability, whatever the case is, and you're preying on these people who are just the, like, you know, the bottom scum of society, and you're trying to scam these people that are already having a tough time. Shame on you.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Mike from St. Pete says that he does a trick to act like he's on the phone. That's a good one. I should have thought about that. Bob Tuscan says that he converted to Judaism, to Jehovah, after running into them at the pier.
I feel like that's a lie.
I feel like it's a lie, too. Chad says, what up? What up, Chad? Steven says, hi. Hello.
Hi, Steven.
And Katrinka says, new camera, awesome. Yes, yay, ma'am. Better believe it. Thank you. So I had to go home, and then I have this TV. I'm trying to get it set up. I have this TV, what do you call it? A hanger device. What do you call it? A bracket that you hang the TV up on? Now, sure. I've talked about my ineptness as a man and not being able to do anything handy. This was no different. The thing's already hung. It just has two brackets on the back. I took them off the old TV. I go to put it on the new TV. Nope, doesn't take those screws. Different screws. Okay, well, I don't have any more screws, so I don't know what to tell you. So it comes with four little screws that appeared not to fit in the holes that are on the back of the TV. So I don't understand what those screws are for. They fit, but it's very snug. So I go, okay. So I have this thing. I think a piece of a light breeze would blow this thing off the rack. I'm very scared because now I got the camera here. I got my board here. And if the TV comes crashing down, it might be the lazy man's burden and just destroy my whole setup here. But I don't know what else to do.
Maybe call a real man.
Yeah, I feel like I can't do that anymore. I can't unless I pay them. I can't keep calling my dads, you know, to come over and help me fix stuff anymore. I feel like they're done with it, and I don't blame them either. I'm over it. I can't believe that for a person who's above average IQ, which I think I am, not much, but just a little smarter than the average bear.
You should give yourself more credit.
Thanks. But it seems like just any sort of engineering mechanical things are just above my means.
Intelligence is compartmentalized, you know. Do you remember our dear friend Jim Norton and his reoccurring meeting of Michio Kaku?
Yeah, right.
And he kept running into this guy who couldn't seem to remember his face, yet probably had the ability to remember thousands of formulas and physics and astrophysics and all these things. And it was brilliant in so many ways, but couldn't remember the face of a neighbor that he had for 5 years. So I think that goes to show that although there is a general G intelligence, sure, intelligence is also extremely compartmentalized. So, you know, it's just you're kind of, you got, that's your blind spot.
Yeah.
Is engineering, mechanics, things of that nature.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. Michio Kaku is one of those TV astrophysicists. He's Japanese, got silver hair, longish. And he's on TV a lot. So if you ever watch like CBS Morning News or something, you'll see him from time to time whenever a new space telescope or something happens with space. He's always on TV.
I think I saw him he's just on everything. Like they're running out of people. I think I was watching like a special on Patagonia and he like showed up. I'm like, what is he doing here? You don't know anything about goddamn whales. Like what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe, yeah. There's only a few TV scientists that are available. Yeah. It's like him, Brian Green.
What are you doing?
Yeah, Brian Green, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I think everybody else is on the spectrum, so they're not able to do any sort of TV or anything. Yeah, so I don't know. I got to figure something out with this television in the long run, but I think it's okay. But if somebody comes down the stairs too hard, then this thing's coming down and all my equipment with it.
I can see the fear in your eyes, and I'm telling you right now, things are not okay.
Yeah, yeah, well.
You're trying to convince yourself that the arrangement is okay.
Yeah.
But I can the configuration of what you're looking at is not okay. It's not safe just by looking at your face. Not okay.
I think it'll be okay. I'm not too worried about it. I'm sure it's fine. I wouldn't worry about it.
I hope if it crashes, it's on camera.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's okay. Really, I think it's okay. We're gonna find out in the long run. Because if it works, I'm not touching it. I'm just gonna keep praying that it stays on the wall somehow. Maybe if I have a manly friend come over at some point, hey, can you take a look at this for me and help me get this locked down or something like that? But. I'm not going to make any special phone calls or anything. I'm just going to hope for the best with this scenario here. Anna, I did want to talk to you about this because this was a common, well, I guess we talk about it all the time even now, but especially when we did Stay Woke Together, was dating and relationships and love in the 2020s. and how tough it is with the apps and the...
I'm an expert in all things that you just said.
Right, right. Well, good, because I
the
have...
The good, the bad.
I got some...
The hard, the easy. Yeah, yeah.
I got some bad news. If you're a single, straight man in 2022...
Racist!
You... No, I didn't mention white, did I?
I'm sorry. It was just a Tourette's outburst.
I think it's just single. It says here single heterosexual men are having a hard time on the dating scene. According to a study by Psychology Today, younger and middle-aged men are the loneliest they've been in generations, and it's probably going to get worse. And this is due to a variety of reasons. Men now make up 62% of dating app users, which reduces their chances of making a match. This means women have plenty of men to choose from, so they're more likely to ghost someone. Another reason is healthy relationship standards have changed. The study says that women are looking for someone who is emotionally available, a good communicator, and shares similar values. The third reason is that men need to address is a skills deficit. The study claims that many young men are not being taught early how to treat women correctly. Okay. It says the problem for men is that...
Yeah, because they're too nice to them.
Yeah, maybe... It says here from the study that the problem for men is that the emotional connection is the lifeblood of healthy long-term love. However, all hope is not lost. While algorithms on dating apps and websites are becoming increasingly more complex, it could lead to greater matches. The study found that the dating app Hinge found that 90% of users rated their first date positively, with 72% indicating of wanting a second date through the app's beta trials. The author of the study advised that men who are having issues in the dating world should go to therapy to address the skills gap in order to connect with a future partner. What's your... So I'm assuming... I'm a little dubious of this, especially the skills gap that these young men just don't know how to treat women.
They're not being selected for. You have like 90% of the women are selecting 10% of the men, right? Like, I can remember when I was on dating apps for many, 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 many years. I mean, it was like maybe 1 in 25 I was swiping right on. So you just have like troves and troves of just gross dudes that nobody wants. Maybe they're short. Maybe they're ugly. You know, it's kind of hard to tell on apps, you know, how much money they're making, their swag, all that sort of thing. So just initially, you're just like, gross, gross. Nope. You know, women want tall. Women want successful. Women want financially independent, doing well financially, able to provide all of these sorts of things. And a very few, you know, proportion of men are able to provide that for them. And, you know, and we've talked about this before, because women are getting so much attention from men, you know, online, mostly obviously in person too, but mostly online. A lot of these women think that they are, you know, upper on the ladder of looks and mate value than they actually are. So women who are like two or threes and fours are thinking they're, you know, eight, nine, tens because they're getting so much attention. But guys will give away their attention for free all the time because they're just desperate to get, you know, some pee. So everybody is confused here. Nobody is aware of reality or what's going on or how to solve the problem. All they can do is really demonize and antagonize the other sex. Is like, oh, you know, the men become incels and they become angry and hate women, and the women feel, you know, more empowered, and they think that men are trash and they need to do better, and toxic masculinity. And so, like, nobody knows what's going on, but guess who does? Me. I know what's going on. I see it, you know. So, unfortunately, I feel like it's hard because women think that they're better than they are because they're just getting so much attention online. So, it takes, you know, kind of a rude slap in the face to realize, oh, I'm not an eight, I'm a four. So, I need to kind of scale back. And men also just, they need to be better, too. They need to get some skills, make some money, get a hobby, get good at it. I mean, the best thing that you can do as a guy who's gross and short is make money. Try to get in the best shape of your life. You don't have to be, you know, a grubby little gremlin. You can go to the gym. You can go on YouTube and go on a diet and look better. do the best with what you've got. You know, there were some things about me that I wish I could change, but these are the cards I've been dealt. So you just try to do the best. You play the best hand that you can with the, you know, the set of cards you've been given. That's all you can do. Instead of just sitting and bitching and complaining about it and hoping that everybody conforms to, you know, what you are. That's my biggest issue with, like, body positivity. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, men aren't attracted to rhinos. They're just not. I don't know what to tell you. Lose weight. It's not that hard. I mean, it's hard, but the formula is easy. Does that make sense? The execution is hard, but the formula is easy. Eat less, move more. Done. You just figured it out. So instead of just expecting everybody to be attracted to you because you're the hottest thing ever, it's like, no, you need to be better. Learn how to play the game and just play it to the best of your ability. And that's what I've been doing since I was 18 years old. So
yeah, you're right. You're right. I think there's and you're definitely right about women getting a lot of attention on there. I mean, I'm no stranger to the apps either. And I know initially whenever I signed on, it was being very selective. And then as time went on, you would not be selective at all and just be trying to get some sort of dopamine hit with a match and a conversation with a stranger. And it was some of these, you know, women I'm talking to, I'm like, what? Not that I'm a you know, Brad Pitt or whatever. Who's a hot guy now? Who's a hot guy? Like a hot celebrity?
Like Hemsworth? Chris Hemsworth?
Hemsworth. I know Chris Hemsworth. I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, I'm slightly higher IQ and slightly above average looking, I would say. Just a smidge. And, you know, some of these, I'm like, what am I doing? And Hinge was the one that I actually found my partner on, and that's been going really good. But I remember feeling it is lonely. Even though you're talking to different people, you're not. It's nothing meaningful. It's these.
No.
And
these sort of interactions, and they're so repeated that the few people that I've had really good conversations with that were just kind of like wild, or not necessarily like overtly sexual or anything, but things that were like funny and spicy stick out in my mind because I probably had about 1,000 of the same. What do you do? How are you? What are you up to? What do you like to do? What are your hobbies? Like just boring S that the few that like, you know, were kind of spicy and we were able to have like a really good rally. I remember well. Those stick out. But yeah, I mean, it's hard on dating apps because all you really have to base it on are looks. Right. Yeah. And obviously height, looks, and like, what do you do for an occupation? So if you're lacking in any of those areas, it's probably going to be hard for you to snag a date. So,
yeah. So there's a few different things too. So there's that. And then you mentioned something that when I talk about the skills gap or when they talk about the skills gap, they're talking about men not knowing how to treat women, which listen, these are the experts. They've done their research. Why would they lie? However,
the skills, when they say skills, they don't mean they don't know how to treat women. It's that they don't know how to interact with women. And not only that, they don't know how to interact with people. And I think that's more of an epidemic of the younger generation because all of their interactions are online. You know, typing, you know, maybe a little bit of talking here and there, Snapchat. So when they're face to face with a human being, or sometimes that the thought of that even scares people. People are just on these online dating apps to get some attention, like you said, to get a dopamine hit, but really have no intention of meeting in person because that terrifies them because they don't have any social skills. They've essentially, you know, eroded away into autism because they don't. I really believe that there's like a critical time period where if you don't have like interactions with people on a regular basis, you're going to have a deficit for the rest of your life. I mean, we all know the people that have been homeschooled, right? And there was just something like a little bit off. You can't really like point it out. Something's like they didn't really have a good idea of like personal space. They say things that are kind of off the wall. And then you talk to them a little bit and they're like, oh yeah, I was homeschooled. And you're like, oh, that's what it is. So there's like this critical period of like social learning that if you don't get it, you are going to have a major problem for the rest of your life. And then you factor in the pandemic and how some kids in California and New York and Chicago spent 2 years at home doing nothing, not learning, not interacting except, you know, on social media. I mean, they're totally effed. So that's how I feel about it. It's not that they don't know how to treat women. What do you mean? What do you mean? All they're doing is giving away their attention for free. That's probably the worst thing that you could do, because then you're, you know, you're putting the pee on a pedestal. They think they're better than you. They're not better than you. And well, you're getting nothing in return except losing your time.
I mean, so here they're saying that the study claims that many young men are not being taught early how to treat women correctly.
Treat women how? Like, ignore them when they ignore you? Like, some respect for yourself. And then women will respect you if you have some respect for yourself.
I mean, I could see it being a scenario where, you know, young men and even my generation, elder millennials, are, you know, grew up with porn, very easy access to porn. So maybe they don't know how to treat them in romantic ways. That could be true, but I don't know. It seems like it's one of those things where it's just.
I know what they're saying. They're talking about Netflix and chill culture. So instead of asking a woman out on a date and setting a time, it's like, hey, do you want to come over and Netflix and chill? And women aren't liking that, but they feel like they have to maybe agree to that because there's no other options because the men aren't acting like men, which isn't. You can train people to do stuff,
but women
can learn.
Women do that now too, where they go, where it's their idea. I've had that happen a few times, and I'm like, "Look, can we go get a drink first? Like, let's get to know each other." And they're, you know, just suggesting
to
come over.
Girls that are DTF, but I think a lot of women, especially like in their 30s, are sick of that, and they want a man to treat them, you know, like a lady. So I think it goes both ways. But
I think there's also this thing where it's the Miss Independent type of culture, don't need no man type of stuff, and you know, a lot of times too, there's the gender wage gap. You know, that men make $1 for women 62 cents, and you know, there's reasons for that, but instead they just look at it on its face. So there was a study that women are actually paid more. Younger women are paid more than men their age to make up for that gap. So the pay gap is actually almost opposite on the other side. And, you know, you got men are competing for these jobs. They're more liable to hire women for a lot of these higher paid jobs because, again, they have to make up for this wage gap. Also, you know, I think you'll agree with this that, you know, women typically like a man, and I think you brought it up, who's successful and does well for themselves, makes money. And a lot of men are having a hard time. I mean, I'm one of those where I'm struggling with my career right now. But, you know,
women prefer men who make as much, if not more than that they want. They prefer more, but at least as much as they're making.
And a lot of them are making a fortune. Working from home, doing marketing, sitting in the pool. I saw a video. I don't know how common it is exactly. And they're working this fake job, some fake marketing job, doing social media for a company, probably making six figures. And they're in bikinis in their apartment complex's pool. And they have their laptops open. It's fake. These aren't real jobs. But they're making a fortune doing it. So they expect, you know, I even have a buddy of mine who's married. And, you know, his wife does well. She's very capable. I'm not implying that she's not capable, but she found it really easy to move up in the job market in the corporate world where she was at. Her husband was having a harder time. And it wasn't from lack of trying. He's very capable, very smart. But I think he's running into a situation where there's a lot of competition and they probably want to get more women into upper management type of positions. So she was getting like fed up with them. And to the point where he was, you know, it was making him sick. It was making him nervous that, you know, I don't know if the implication was maybe she would leave him or something like that. I don't think so. But she was kind of like, what's wrong with you? You know, why aren't you doing better? I'm having such an easy time. Why aren't you doing better?
I think I know who you're talking about. And it's funny because I think that these people, I want to say hang to the left, you know, where gender shouldn't really matter and gender power dynamics shouldn't really matter, all this sort of stuff. Yet she's feeling like, why are you stepping up and being the man and making all the money sort of thing?
Or at least doing as good as me. You
as
know?
Good, if not better.
But also there's...
I can do it. Why can't you do it?
But there's that, there's, again, you know, if I'm not necessarily bringing their political ideology into it, but if you want to add on to that, you know, you're a white male. You run the world. Why are you having such a hard time? If you can't, like, what's wrong with you? That's even worse, doubly worse, if you're going to bring ideology into it.
You have a leg up in every aspect of life, and yet you are still failing. What's wrong with you?
Yep. So it's the world is the opposite in many circumstances, how it's portrayed by media and, any sort of media, really, not only like news, but movies, music. I mean, it's complete opposite land. It's a fairy tale. But nevertheless, it still persists and is rampant. So I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of glad that I'm out of that whole scene right now. I mean, I'm not. Oh, huh?
I said, oh God, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. My buddy was engaged and he's back out there on the apps. And so I feel bad for him. I mean, it's just like,
I don't feel so bad for him. Cause he's the man. And he's just getting started with his stride. He's making money. He's, I want to say, around our mid-30s. He's killing it. He's just about to hit his peak. Probably like late 30s, early 40s. That's when men kill it. Guess who isn't killing it around that time? Women. So I don't feel bad for your friend.
What do you mean? We just talked about how women are doing great.
No, I mean, as they get older. I mean, it's harder. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's, the older he gets and the more money he acquires, he's able to probably get younger and younger chicks. You know, he doesn't have to look for someone who's his own age. He can get someone who's 25, 26. No big deal. No problem.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, women who are getting a little bit older, it gets a little bit more difficult because the men our age are becoming more successful. And thereby are able to get younger, hotter chicks.
You know, we were talking about that. He was asking me, like, what's the youngest I would date? And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And he goes, yeah, I have it set to, like, I think the baseline is 5 years younger, 5 years older type of thing. But now that he's in his 30s and he kind of wants to start a family, now he's thinking he wants to go a little younger because, just because of the fertility of biology. So, but he said he went out with a 23-year-old and he's 30. So that's like a 10-year difference. That's pretty big.
And how did he find that?
He couldn't do it. There was no mind there.
No,
there was just in different places in their lives and had nothing in common.
I can't really connect. Can't really relate to each other.
So, yeah. I mean, you get to a point where yes, you can, you know, the men can kind of date younger the older they get because they accumulate these resources, whatever. Sometimes, anyways, I don't know how that's going to work in the future, but historically that's been the case. And now he's, you know, do you just want a brain dead idiot in your home? And some men do. They're okay with that.
Some do. You know, some guys kind of just keep a woman around for more traditional reasons, like sex and to be submissive, take care of the house and have the children and all the conversations where, you know, they're really using their brain. They kind of go to their friends, their boys for. But I feel like, you know, there are some 23, 24 year olds that aren't totally brain dead that are young and attractive, or you go a little bit older, you go 27, 28, you know, where they have a little bit more experience, but they're still young, hot enough and probably have about 10 more years of reproduction left inside them. So, you know, he'll figure it out. I'm not worried about the friend you're referring to. Not at all.
I'm not either. But I do have empathy for him and what he's going through, going back out there after being engaged and getting back out in that world and trying to find a partner. That's tough. I think he'll be all right too. But I know he's in therapy. You know, for probably a bunch of different things, but. It's something that he feels like he needs to do and, you know, that's fine. And I think a lot of people are in that boat and it's really sad. And I think modernity has kind of failed us and these apps and the internet and, what we're doing talking online right now is, probably not helping contribute to anything, but also there's no going back.
More connection than most people get all day. You know, most people just get texts and, you know, maybe some short Snapchat videos that are sent to 20 other people. So, you know, I certainly think we're winning. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely secondary to, you know, an in-person conversation where I can see your face. I'm looking into your eyes. You're looking into my face. Like, those sorts of things really can't be recreated online, despite the fact that, you know, technology is advancing every day and things are getting better and more convenient. But I, like you said, I really think that that's doing humanity a disservice in a lot of ways, a great service in some ways. But you really have to try to, you know, mitigate the cost of such things, you know, like not getting real good human interaction. Like you really need as a human being, there's some certain things that you need, and you need, you know, you need tactile touch. You need to see people in real time. You need sunlight. You need actual food that nourishes your body, like these sorts of things. Then we wonder why we're so depressed and lonely and we're all on, you know, SSRIs. It's like, well, look at how we're treating our bodies and our minds. It's not good. It's not conducive to have a fulfilling, connected human experience. So
yeah, listen, I last week's video got pulled from YouTube. I don't know why. I don't really know what we did. I think there might have been a few things, but I'm going to end it with this. This one will probably get pulled down too, but Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was right about all this stuff, and I don't think that you should have done what he did as far as building bombs and killing people. However, you should read Industrial Society and its Future, because it explains everything almost to a T. All right, that's it. It's time to go. You can get in touch with the show, 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. And stay tuned. If you listen on Radio St. Pete, Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcast, I do appreciate that. Please do tell a friend about it. Share the show. Give it a good review wherever you're listening to it. Subscribe to the live stream on YouTube. Wednesdays, 5:15 p.m. on YouTube with Anna Hummel. My name is Will Koontz for Anna Hummel. I bid you adieu. Take care. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.